Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word.
I want to start though tonight. We're going to be talking about Proverbs 5 this evening. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to earmark that chapter, that's where we're going to be this evening. But I want to start off with a verse as I'm setting this up tonight, because I think it's really important that we get this. Philippians 2:12 says, "Dear friends," this is Paul writing, "you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. Now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." Another translation says, continue to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fear. Well, fear of what? Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. The fear that I believe that God is talking about here is as Paul is encouraging those at the church of Philippi to continue to walk out their faith, is a fear that they may fall into one of the oldest strategies of the enemy against us: the temptations. And not the singing group. That was for some of you in here. The temptations. But temptations. Temptations. It's what God warned Cain about since the beginning, that was lurking outside his door and desired to have him. And he said, stay alert, be vigilant. Temptation is right outside and it's seeking to have you and I. And we have to see, we can't be a church that, as we're talking about, we're giving instruction, we're studying scripture, we're doing different things, that we just gloss over any kind of preaching that talks about temptation because, oh, I've heard that before. This is a big deal. This is a major deal. This is one of the core things of walking out our faith, that we must recognize and learn to defeat what is temptation. And tonight, as we go through Proverbs 5, I want to highlight some key aspects of how we're going to look at this chapter and understand how to. You know, we've already had it said, and we're going to say it some more as we study through Proverbs, that wisdom is likened to a woman on the highways and the byways, calling out to anyone who will listen to her. And here in this chapter, you're going to see that temptation is also likened to a woman, calling out to whoever she can seduce into her trap. Now, you've got to recognize here that if you're thinking, oh, well, this whole chapter is about adultery, so I'm not going to have to worry about that, you're missing it. If you're sitting in here and you're, well, I'm a woman, and so this is talk, you men, listen up. You listen up. Don't let the seductress come in. You're missing it. You're missing it. You're going to miss the underlying application of what this chapter really is. And as Solomon uses adultery to describe something deeper. See, oftentimes the lesson under the surface is actually more powerful than what you catch at the first glance. Now, I want you to know, I don't want you to be sitting there going, so you're saying Proverbs 5 isn't about adultery? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that as Solomon is teaching us, watch out for the adulterous woman, he's also laying a deeper, broader meaning to apply for all of us to watch out for temptation. Watch out for how she operates. And don't be misled. We have to understand this is being used to describe something so that we can see God's heart on it. God sees the way we react to temptation, how a married man reacts to an adulterous woman. It affects God's heart. It affects your relationship with Him. And we know over and over and over again, the Bible displays our relationship with our God to be as a marriage. And so we've got to see temptation can be a problem. Because here's what temptation does. Temptation causes sin to look attractive. It causes sin to look promising. It makes sin look sexy until you realize the rot that it brings in your life. And the enemy, who has been at this for a very, very, very long time, he knows you and I, and he knows what it takes to tempt you and to tempt me to get at our heart and to take the very thing that is owed to God. He wants the most important thing that God has given us. And you need to understand this is not about your soul. This isn't about your spirit. This is about a free gift that God has given all of us that is owed to him, and is this: the freedom of our choice. That's what the enemy's after. Because when we really truly boil down worship, and we really truly boil down our, it comes down to the freedom of our choices. The freedom of our choice. And how could I be true to God while having another relationship on the side? How can I say I'm true to the grace of God and the mercy of God and I receive all that and then go, whoopsies. Philippians 2:13. This is why it's such a big deal. Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire, and everybody say power. And the power to do what pleases him. The reason why our response to temptation is really such a big deal is because God's actually working on the inside of you to help you and giving you the power to, I just can't help it. No, the reality is you can. The reality is you 100% can. That's why this is such a big deal to God. The reality is God isn't good enough. The reality is you're choosing something that you want to say is better. And this is why we have to really take this into consideration. See, from the beginning, this is what the enemy's been after. The freedom of our choice. You go all the way back to Adam and Eve. He didn't force them to sin. He didn't make Eve take a bite. He didn't make Adam take. They freely chose to give away what was owed to God. And then it just put everybody in eternal bondage to sin. See, when you choose God, you get a lifestyle of obedience. When you choose temptation, you get a lifestyle of bondage. And here's the funny thing about those two things. When you look at obedience and you look at bondage, there's a lot of similarities. Because whenever I'm obedient to God, there are some things that I will not do because I can't do that if I'm going to be obedient. See, when I choose obedience to God, there are just simply some things I just can't do because I've chosen obedience to God. When you choose bondage, when you choose temptation, when you choose sin, there are just simply some things you just cannot do. Because you've chosen bondage. You've chosen slavery. You've chosen to walk this back. See, bondage and obedience have similarities. But the clear and distinct opposite in both of them is that which you choose to do with self-control. Obedience is birthed from self-control, and bondage is birthed from the very lack of it. This is why it's important. I wanted to give you this study that was done by Arizona Christian University. They did a study on the views of sin and temptation. This is kind of interesting. Of all the things that I was reading, what it boiled down to these two big points at the bottom. And I want you to hear this, and I really want you to think about it. Of their study of people that they did, 52% of adults believe there is no such thing as absolute sin, regardless of the context. So what I mean by that is this. 52% of all people, whether they're believers or not, there's no black and white there. There's not, and I can't absolutely point at that and say that that's sin. They just don't believe it's true. So so 5 in 10 people hold a traditional high stakes view of the presence of sin in one's life.
Christian or non-Christian. I don't want any of you to be in that statistic. You have to see and recognize that sin 100% of the time always leads to death. It's what it pays. It's what it gives out. It's what it always, no matter the promise, no matter what it says. And this is a major issue for us, because if we can't get this fundamental idea that sin is catastrophic in your life, how in the world will we able to make discipleship appealing? See, we can't continue, and I'm not saying that we do this. That's why it's so important, the teaching that we choose to listen to. But we cannot continue to water down salvation and God's grace to mean something that I don't think it was ever supposed to mean. And what I mean by that is this. Grace and mercy was never meant to widen the road for your lifestyle. Grace and mercy was never meant to widen the lifestyle that you want to choose in bondage and sin and temptation. It was never meant to make a way for you and your sin along the road of your path to salvation. Grace and mercy was what was going to be able to get you on the road to start. But the thought behind it is, I'm leaving my sin behind me because I have a free choice now. We got to get this doctrine right. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 9. I promise we're going to get to Proverbs chapter 5 here. But I just want, we've just got to get this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies are scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. And the last line here, nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. We should not put Christ to the test. How do we put Christ to the test? In the same way that our spiritual ancestors did. Doubting his faithfulness and goodness after he's already shown it to us, and believing that our own individual Egypts would be better than the life we've been taken to, in sin while presuming his mercy will continue to be poured out on us. You're asking for a snake bite to kill you. When you flirt with serpents that you know are dangerous, you are asking for it to sink its venom into you and kill you. I thought this was funny as I was looking about snake handlers and professional herpetologists. Levi, you'll like this. They have a saying. It's not an if you'll get bitten by a snake in our profession, but rather the when and the where that matters. What they're saying is that if you handle snakes long enough, it's not an if you're going to get bit. It's a when and a where. So in our lives, when we're dealing with temptation, are we handling it in a way that we're, what? This snake bit me? And now it's causing damage in my life? God, where are you? He's saying, why are you picking that up? Why are you flirting with it? Why are you allowing it a presence in your life? 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what the others have experienced. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. For when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. How do I endure, God? How do I endure this temptation? How do I endure not getting snake bit? Here's how you endure. You take the way out when it shows itself.
You find the nearest exit when the temptation arrives and you take that. You don't play in the room continually allowing yourself to be around the very thing that wants to bring death and destruction in your life. Quit permitting it at your table. Quit permitting it on your phone. Quit permitting it in the songs you listen to. Quit permitting it in the lifestyles of the rich and famous who are godless and on their way to hell, and you're trying to emulate their life. Quit playing with it. Because it's not an if, it's a when and a where. And I don't know about you, but the devil doesn't try to bite me whenever it's convenient. He always wants to get me whenever it's going to really cost me. So here's what I want to start off with. I've got 6 points total, but I've got split in two ways. The three things we must do to avoid temptation out of Proverbs 5. Three things we must do if we're going to avoid temptation. And the last three are this. Three things you can bet are going to happen to you if you flirt with temptation. So 6 things total, 3 points and 3 points. So here we go. My first big point is this. If you want to avoid temptation, I want you to get out of Proverbs chapter 5. You have to stay alert and you have to pay attention. Proverbs 5, verses 1 and 2. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment and your lips will express what you've learned. Some of you don't have any discernment because you're not paying attention. That's it. This is not a hard point. It's not a deep spiritual truth. This shouldn't be giant revelation. But some of us find ourselves getting bit over and over and over again because we're where the snakes hang out at. There's been a snake under that rock for the last 15 years, but we're going back to that rock, lifting it up, and whoa, there's a snake under there. You've known every time when you go out and underneath that barn, Tim, there's always snakes. Why are you back underneath there again? Pay attention and stay alert. If you're going to avoid temptation, you have to know where the areas of temptation are in your life. And if you've lived at all, you know where they're at. I mean, really. If you've lived at all, you know. You know where your areas of temptation are. Quit messing around. And I don't have time to cover every single area where you might be. You know. You and God know. You, God, and the enemy know. So stay alert. Pay attention. Don't let yourself get creeped up on. Then you'll show discernment, and your lips will express what you've learned. Sometimes we get so focused on defensive Christianity that we forget that there's a proactive measure you can take. And that sometimes the best way to avoid temptation is to not ever be in the room with it. Quit getting in the room of temptation. That's the first thing. Second thing that I want you to see from chapter 5, and a way to avoid temptation, avoid trying to do things your own way. Proverbs 5, verse 12 through 14. You will say, how I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. This isn't the cry of somebody who's been going, okay, now what did you just say? You write that down. Okay, now, what is that supposed to mean? Okay, now, Lord, what does this mean? Okay, Holy Spirit, help me. Okay, no. Pastor, now when you were saying that, that's not the heart cry of somebody trying to do things their own way. This is somebody's going, I got this. Well, that don't always work. Well, sure, it'd be nice if you could have that much time to read the Bible, but who's got that much time? Listen, everybody wants a cuter, funner, prettier, easier way to get closer to God and to have.
And Pastor and I were talking about this morning. It's still the same that it's been for 2,000 years. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to read your Bible. You're going to have to worship him. I don't know what else to tell you. And that might sound boring, but you can have a whole lot of excitement if you just keep falling into temptation. You can have a whole lot of excitement, a whole lot of drama. Things can get real not boring real fast. And some of you really, if you're honest, what you really ought to be desiring is a simple life instead of a more exciting one. Because exciting isn't all it's cracked up to be. Roller coasters are fun because you only ride it and then real quick it's over. But for your whole life to be a roller coaster all the time, that's going to make me throw up. I don't want my life to be a roller coaster all the time. I don't want to be on the tilt. I don't want to be on the barn swings. I hate the barn swings at Silver Dollar City. I know some of y'all like them. I don't want that to be my life. Oh, everything's going really good. Oh, everything's terrible. Oh, everything's going really good. Oh, everything's terrible. Your whole spiritual walk is motion sickness. Your inner ear is like bouncing on the inside of your wall because of your brain, because your life is so crazy all the time. Start listening. Start receiving. Start walking some of that out. Quit hating discipline. You've got to learn how to receive the things that keep you in check. They're just trying to control me. No, God's trying to protect you. Quit hating discipline. Why is everybody always trying to teach me something? Why is that? God, I feel like everybody's always telling me the same thing. That's interesting. Listen to your teachers. Listen to your teachers. And I get it. I know you wish God would write something in the sky. But you can't even receive from the people around you. Why in the world would he put something in the sky? Because you're so focused on yourself anyway. You'd never see it. You're not looking at him anyway. He put it up in the sky, it'd be too far above you. It'd go over your head. You can't even receive from the people that are sitting in the pews right next to you, the chairs right next to you. Your parents who are in your life, your loved ones who are trying to get you to quit acting a certain way, you can't even receive from them. God, I sure wish you'd speak to me. I'm trying. I'm trying. This is just if you want to avoid it. This is just if you don't want verse 14. I've come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Experience is a great teacher. Disgrace is a fantastic teacher to humble people. You don't have to go there. You actually don't have to ruin your whole life. Everybody hates you. Nobody wants to be around you. You've lost all your money. You've lost your family. You've lost your kids. You've lost your... You don't have to go there. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. Listen. And the last way that you avoid temptation is this. Think about it from God's perspective. And what I mean by that is live like God's watching you at all times. Because he is. And we sometimes forget that. I really think we do. I think that when we're in church long enough, we forget that God is always watching. That God is always observing. Not like somebody ready to kill you, but somebody who loves you, who's expecting you to, with your freedom of choice, to choose something good. Proverbs 5, verse 21. For the Lord sees, everybody say clearly. The Lord sees clearly what a man does. Examining every path he takes. And get this, an evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are the ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control, and he will be lost because of his great foolishness. God's just punished me, man, because I've made some wrong decisions, and now I can't even. No, he is not. You did this to yourself. He's been trying to get you out, but you won't let him. You know, it's like James 1:13 says, nobody should say, God is tempting me. God ain't tempting you. What I love about this passage of Proverbs 5 right here is that it doesn't even say that Satan's tempting you. A man will come to ruin because of his own lack of self-control. Live like God's watching you. That's how you avoid it. And you've got to start seeing that God doesn't find your sin as cute, as quirky, just you being you, because he's holy. You know what the angels around the throne who worship God all the time, you know what they don't say? Let's just read Revelation 4:8. Each one of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes, inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept saying, tolerant, tolerant, tolerant is the Lord God Almighty. Permissible, permissible, permissible is the Lord God. Sin isn't cute to God. Holy, holy, holy. Your sin isn't cute to God. It's not a fun attribute of your character that he giggles at. It's rebellion to God. Quit. The one who you serve is holy, and you've been called to be holy just as your Father is holy. So if you want to avoid a temptation, you've got to do those three things. If you don't want to avoid temptation, don't do those three things. Don't worry about any of that stuff I just said, and then let's focus. So then that first message, part of the message isn't for you. The second half is for you. So here's the three things that will happen if you don't avoid temptation. Here's what she'll do. Number one, she will get you to listen. Proverbs 5, verse 3. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison and as dangerous as a double-edged sword. If faith comes by hearing, guess where disobedience comes from? Hearing. Just a different message. When you allow yourself to not avoid temptation and you let her whisper in your ear, she'll seduce you. Temptation will overtake you because you will allow yourself to listen over and over and over to that evil, immoral crap. And every time it'll just get harder and harder and harder to disobey or to obey and to not choose disobedience. I do want to just kind of say this, and just to kind of take it there with immorality for just a second, with adultery. To all our young people, this is kind of an old saying, but I do want to say this for you. There's an old saying that says this: if a person will cheat with you, they'll cheat on you. So before you start taking that path of somebody who desires you while you're already in a relationship, just you know their intentions. They'll cheat on you too. And it's the same way with sin. It's going to look real good. It will cause you hell. It will cause you hell. That's the first thing she does. She will get you to listen. And when you listen long enough, here's what she does. She gets you to follow. Temptation will get you to follow if you allow it to continue to speak into your life. Proverbs 5, verse 5. Her feet lead to a great life and prosperity. No, her feet go down to death. And her steps lead straight to the grave. For she cares nothing about the path to life. She staggers down a crooked trail and does not realize it. See, all the signs are there. Yet you're going to follow. You're going to follow away from the path you know is right. And here's how I know people are following temptation, because here's what they begin to say. All the justifications for all their actions start to come out. Because you know. You have to justify it to help yourself sleep at night. You have to justify. Suddenly, when following temptation becomes your mantra, you just got to do what you got to do. See, when you're following temptation, That is exactly how someone being led to death thinks. Because you've heard what you know you're supposed to believe. And in order for you to believe something contrary, you have to speak it out loud why you're doing what you're doing. You have to justify your choice to your conscience, to the Holy Spirit who's trying to get you to turn. You have to justify it over and over and over again. Because you know, deep down you know, the wages of sin is death. But somehow, if I just close my eyes and I just close my ears and I won't be like that. Should lead you to death. And then the last thing, this is what happens to everybody. This is what happens to everybody who follows in temptation's path and where she leads. She destroys you. And get this, you pay the cost for it. Verse 7 through 11. So now, my sons, listen to me. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. And in the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. It's inevitable. It's not an if. It's a when and a where. It's a when and a where. When you follow temptation long enough, it's not an if, it's a when and a where. When is payment finally going to come due for you? When you're married? When you got kids? When you've got a whole business that people are expecting you to behave a certain way? When you're leading in ministry? It's not an if, it's a when. And the stakes only grow. It only gets hard. The fall will only get worse the longer it goes on. And here's where it starts. It starts in our heart, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 10:23. You say, I am allowed to do anything. You're allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. In your heart, you say, I'm allowed to do anything. But don't you recognize not everything is beneficial? See, this kind of thinking is not someone who's building their life the right way. They think they're right, but what they're doing is self-defeating in their thinking. See, the enemy has you right in his hand and you don't even see that you're right on the edge of disaster because you're justifying everything that you do that's contrary and rebellious to the heart of God. Oh, but I got God's mercy. I got God's grace. Now what you got coming is his wrath and the consequences of your actions. Payment's coming. It's not an if. It's a when. See, what happens to people that live like this, they eventually do end up in the ditch. And then when they're in the ditch, if you're not careful, it'll turn into your grave. Because I know, like me, you know people who have got themselves into the ditch and they've gotten out, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I also know a lot of people who have driven themselves into the ditch and they stay there for the rest of their life and they never get out. Because they never realize what got them there wasn't everybody else. Because when you're in the ditch, your perspective is everybody's looking down on you. And it's everybody else's fault condemning you while you're the one who put yourself in the ditch. And so inwardly you begin to hate people. You hate God. You hate the world. You hate the church. You hate everything that could get you out. And the ditch is a really poor place to try to build a life, but people try. And so they never leave. They live in a ditch where everything, all the stuff of life, gets wiped off into the side. We have to stop using our Lord Jesus' sacrifice as something that it was never meant to be. We have to learn to stop trying to widen the road that Christ has called us out to and to stay away for temptation. Listen, I know this is a very basic practical word. But whenever I saw that statistic, that over 50% of people don't think that sin has anything to play in their life, we can't build disciples that way. Because we can't build, if our whole vision is going to be building life, we can't be in the ditch anymore. And I want to call you out of it tonight. You need to stop hearing your sin or your temptation that you're in as, everybody's condemning me. No, that's just your perspective because you're in the ditch. We didn't put ourselves in an elevated position. You chose to go lower. Come on out, brother. Come on out, sister. Christ is saying, come on out, son. Come on out, daughter. And quit living that way. And if you're not in the ditch, don't get driven there. Don't go there. Don't end up there. Avoid temptation. Take it seriously. And you don't ever have to be that person that has a 15, a 20, a 30, a 40-year period of their life where they go, golly, I wish I would have listened. How I hated discipline. I wish I would have listened to my teachers. You don't ever have to go there. Amen. That's all I've got for you guys tonight. You guys go ahead and stand.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net. Or you can message us on social media, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.